Something.
Hello, everybody. Can you see us? Hear us?
We'll keep talking because there's nothing else going on, so we don't start doing something.
Yeah, okay. What have you been doing all day?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, getting complicated with this thing. Hang on a minute. Let me try and kill this first. No, you keep talking, otherwise there won't be anything on the radio for them to listen to.
Okay. I've been messing about with my laptop, trying to get it connected to the internet. But the wireless system from my desktop computer doesn't seem to want to work right, so I've got a new modem coming, a more modern one. I've been using this old modem for, since 2000. Is the millennium, and it's not really up to it, so it's a stronger one, even though it's a LAN connection. It can't work with two stations at the same time very well. Had a problem with it.
Swing that light over a bit, otherwise you ain't going to get any light on you.
Oh, it's hot.
Ooh, that way a bit. That's it. Stop there. That's it. Right, play that.
You.
All right. Hang on.
Where are we? What are we doing?
Yeah, you just keep talking.
I don't know what to talk about.
Oh, you mean to say you didn't prepare after all that?
No,
rat bag.
Everything gets out of my head.
Oh, come on. Why is he doing that now?
I've been having trouble with my computer all day. Nothing but problems, one thing after another.
Oh.
You ask it to remember things and it doesn't. To keep resetting it, retuning it. And now this one's not working right.
Yeah, it is working right. I'm just trying to reset the level. Wait for that screen to come up. It's all right, keep going.
Okay. Oh, well. Oh dear.
So where are you off to next week then? What's going on there?
What's happening next week? Well, as far as I know, I'm going off on Thursday to Friedrichshafen, from Friedrichshafen to Munich, to give a weekend seminar on healing, or using healing tools. We've got, I think, about 30 people coming along, and it should be fun. So we'll be poking one another with sticks. Sounds great, doesn't it? But yeah, I've got quite a selection of different tools they can try out and see how it goes, and it should be fun. Where we're going is a nice little room or hall place, a czar, right near the English park in Munich. So we'll spend some time walking around the park looking at the trees in there too. What's this? Tell us about Hornbeam on the moon chat, on the web chat.
Yeah, somebody wants to know about Hornbeam. You can tell them about Hornbeam.
What can I tell you about Hornbeam?
Apart from grey stockings.
Apart from grey stockings?
Stockings. The barrel of stockings.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Granddad said. No one was remembering it like that. It makes sense.
Hornbeam is what in the Netherlands they call Haagvolk. And, what's it called in Germany?
Heinboken.
Which is, it's very similar to the Boek or Buka or Boken. It's a beach, but it's not a beach, it's very similar to it. But what you do notice, if you look at it, instead of it having a grey trunk like most of the other trees, you'll notice it has like a pattern on the surface. Oh, is it working right now?
Yeah, yeah, I just noticed there's a difference on the web chat thingy. Because now you can, there's extra menu at the bottom, and it makes life easier, and I didn't realise that, and it's all getting very complicated, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the bar, you'll see it has like a black lace pattern on it. My grandfather saw a dancer from America, a Negro jazz dancer, with black wearing black lace. Grey lace. She was wearing grey lace, but she had a black skin. And the effect, he thought, was very like the surface of the tree, the Hornbuche. What we call hornbeam, because we didn't know it was a tree, we thought it was a different tree, we called it hornbeam. And we called it hornbeam because it had like a sort of horn-like feel about it. It's a very hard wood. But another name for it is ironwood, which is an old elfin name for it. When the Celts first came to our country and started killing us with their long things called swords, we didn't have any swords, but we did have a walking stick. And the only walking stick that would fight against a sword was one made of ironwood or hornbeam.
It couldn't quite cut through it.
It dragged. It dragged on the wood, so it would tend to hold the blade a bit. Not very effective, but it did drag.
It gave you a chance to sort of duck out the way a bit and try and kick him in the nuts.
Yeah,
while he was swinging his sword round.
But it's a very nice tree. When you stand under the tree,
I'm
going to
turn it off before it confuses you anymore. Yeah.
When you stand under the tree and look up into the branches, you'll notice that they zigzag all over the place. It can't make its mind up which direction it wants to grow in. First it grows a bit to the left, then a bit to the right, then diagonal off in another direction, then another direction. It zigzags all over the place, which means you can end up with some very unusual shapes. I have a very zigzaggy walking stick with a handle that curls round and zigzags back down again. All sorts of strange shapes have come out of it over the years, and we've been quite pleased because we have a group of hornbeam who give us a lot of very strange shapes that we can make into unusual walking sticks. Very one-off walking sticks. People are going, "Oh, that's not a walking stick. That looks like a sort of snake twisted round or something." Wow, ironwood. Yeah. It's a nice wood. Nice name. Incidentally, there's all sorts of proverbs and things and sayings that elves are frightened of iron. Or for two pins you could stop elves from doing something because the pin's made of iron. And that iron was unlucky to elves and things.
Damn right it is when some bloody idiot's swinging it around and dropping lumps off, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's a sword, yes, definitely. We're not afraid of it.
Or an axe.
We just kept out the way of it. We had to.
We respect it. Respect it, yeah. I think is the word.
Yeah. I'm just looking at this web chat. Yep.
They're waffling about down south.
Mm. Nice like Claudia, yeah. What were we going to talk about? What would you like to know?
That'll confuse them. Asking them what they want to know.
Yeah.
How long you got? What do you want to talk about?
You know, when I was in Holland, somebody seemed very sort of disappointed that I didn't look like the elves that you get in Dungeons and Dragons. I wasn't carrying all sorts of strange tools and swords and things, and have all the sort of things that an elf in Dungeons and Dragons would have.
Such as?
Well, they seem to think you have all sorts of tools that do things and make things happen out, and magic tools.
You do. You've got a watch and a phone and a pair of glasses. What else do you need?
Well, I didn't look the part.
Why do you call yourself an elf?
Because I am an elf. What's your fucking excuse?
And I said, no, I don't call myself an elf. It's what the Celts called us.
Yeah.
But a lot of people nowadays don't appear to have much knowledge of what we used to call, as youngsters, when we were youngsters, fairy stories. They know about Power Rangers and some of these other stupid things you see on television. But they don't know anything about proper books and things, you know. When I was a youngster, fairy stories were the standard things we gave kids to read. But a surprising number of people never read nowadays, and I think they're missing out so much.
Yeah.
And when they take a book which is very good and you can use your imagination with it and make it into a film and get it wrong, the image is wrong, that's a bit of a problem, you know.
I didn't try pronouncing it, but it looks like Mew. Says, what says the spiritual world about man's ignorance to nature's and our friends the trees? Oh, well, bugger, basically.
We'll get over it.
Yeah.
The situation when I was younger, say go back to the, say, 70s or 80s, about 6 people in 1,000 were interested in trees.
Enough to be able to actually point at one if you ask them.
Yeah. And most of them worked with trees in the forest or something. Most ordinary people had no idea what the trees were called or anything. If it's a big tree, it must be an oak. And that's... Since then, this has changed quite a bit. In the 90s, it was something like 65 people in 1,000. Now it's more like 650 in 1,000. So it's still only a small percentage... About 6.5% right now.
Well, that's not 650 out of 1,000, then.
Isn't it?
No, that's 65%.
65. No. Isn't it? Oh.
60.
Yeah, 6.5%.
Yeah, 65 people out of 1,000.
65 people out of 1,000, that's right. We ought to write this down and I can see it.
I know my maths is useless, but yours is worse.
Yeah, I know. When I was young, we were counting on our fingers. One room, two room, cock a room, four room, shither room, shatter room, one bay, wagged our toy little den. I went to a school run by old ladies, 3 old ladies, and they counted with their fingers going 1, 2, they tapped their fingers with each time. They did their calculations like that. We didn't have computers, we didn't have blackboards, we didn't have all these other things. And we used to have a slate to write on that squeaked when you wrote. But you could clean it with a piece of sponge and you spat on it and wiped it clean, you know. You can have pencils and paper even, you know. yeah, things have changed a lot now. And I think by the time our grandchildren have grandchildren, there are a lot more people who will be interested in trees. It's going that way.
Yeah. It went quiet then.
Ignorance the nature of friend of the truth. Now, what a lot of people don't realise, and what we're busy checking us, it has no sense of its own importance or its own fact that it's alive. It's not self. What's the right word? There's no self consciousness.
Sentient.
Sentient life, yeah. And that's a load of rubbish.
I wouldn't think for itself.
They do. They can think for themselves and do things.
Self-awareness is it now.
But the thing is, they don't talk to people about it. You need to actually sort of make friends with them before they'll talk. Which is understandable. We've been ignoring them for years. I mean, I was in Holland last week. Was it last week? Yeah, about a week ago. And there you have lots of forests that have been planted, but there are still a lot of trees, and lots of paths through the forest. So the local people can drive through the forest, they can ride their bicycles through the forest on a different path, they can walk on other paths, they can ride their horses through the forest. And so they have plenty of chance to go and look at trees. Yet you ask the forest, what do you think of the people coming through here every day?
Who? What? Where? When?
And they say, oh, I don't think much of them. Because people just ignore the trees and just look at them as wallpaper. They've got every opportunity to look at the trees and they don't do it. So, maybe it will change. Maybe it will change. What we have been trying to do is take people for walks in the woods to show them the trees. And show the trees what the people look like. Because trees don't usually look back either. They think we're ignoring them, they ignore us.
I think Claudia's spelling's as good as it ever was.
Yeah. She's doing well, she's doing well. It's a foreign language.
I know. And yes, Gus, you are right. If you take good care of trees, they don't fall down, except when Mother Nature says it's time to lay down. And then they have no choice.
Yeah, we had an interesting thing on that. Back in 87, we had a big hurricane. And we lost over 6 million trees locally, which was quite bad. But although a lot of trees were blown over by the storm and very high force winds, nobody was killed directly by the trees. The only people who died were ones who had a heart attack when a tree fell on their house or something, and the sound frightened them to death. And several people drove into trees that were across the road because they were driving too fast in the conditions. But trees didn't actually fall on anybody. They all fell slowly, because when a tree falls naturally, it falls slowly.
Although there was one that did actually fall on a car that was occupied at the time. But it fell in such a way that although the main trunk of it hit the roof of the car, it didn't actually crush the car.
Yeah, that sort of thing happened, yeah.
No.
There were no direct deaths from it.
No. They will, wherever possible, avoid falling on somebody or something.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, if you've got 120 mile an hour wind pulling at you, you go where it tells you, pretty much.
Well, yeah, so do people. If you get hit by 100 mile an hour wind, you know you're knocked sideways too. But one of the big problems we had locally was the fact that their roots weren't deep in the ground, because we have chalk hills covered by just a very thin layer of earth. So there isn't much room for their roots to grow. So they're in a flat mat and can be pulled up if the wind pressure is great enough. Whereas in your country, they can put their roots down quite deep, and you should never get this sort of problem.
Hmm. Mind you, a lot of the trees that I noticed that did come down had been already weakened by man's interference anyway, especially a lot of the ones in town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yo, yo. Here's the operator. Ik heb dit moment geen verbinding met het programma. We proberen het over een minuutje nog eens.
Hello, hello, hello. We back again, or what? Come on, it's sending again. It should be doing it. It's, Hello? We're back again, alright, we're on again.
Are we?
Yeah.
We've got back up the ladder, see, hooray!
I don't know. I have an idea that if you accidentally click from one program to another when you've got the various windows open on here,
yeah,
it disconnects the send or does something stupid to M3W. And I'm not quite sure how to deal with that, but I'm just keep going, you know.
Oh. What we have to do is have a three.
I'm talking. Keep talking.
So, okay, we're listening to hear you. Right. Talk, yes. Trouble is, every time this thing goes wrong, I lose track of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So when you went to Eastern Europe being underwater then?
I don't know.
It seems like it's getting a bit wet down the Danube end.
Yeah. Now, is this because there's too much water melting in the Alps?
What's causing that? Global warming?
Or is it too much rain in that area? I haven't got many statistics on this stuff, you know.
Probably in England we don't get an awful lot of news coverage of it. I think it was on the news twice in the last week and that was it.
Yeah.
And short of doing a search around some of the news engines, it's difficult to find out around here.
Well, our problem in England is we have a comedian show called the Parliament, and they spend more time covering that than giving us some of the world news, you know, or European news.
Well, at the moment it seems to be working. We seem to be broadcasting, so keep talking.
But there could be all sorts of problems. If this global warming is right, and it's going to get warmer, then in theory the Alps should start, or rather the snow in the Alps should start melting more so than it normally does, which means there should be more flooding possibly in the rivers leading from the Alps, and then later the water should dry up and not go back to normal. So there could be all sorts of problems long term. especially with people living near a big river and relying on it for water supply or trade and things like that. In about 2,000 years. I think you've got too many noughts.
Well, yeah, possibly. 2,000 years from when?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's so far away we don't have to worry about it, at least.
No. But surprise the number of people keep saying, do you know about 2012?
2010, 2012, 2020, yeah. 2016.
Yeah.
2016. What, you mean quarter past eight? What's on at quarter past eight?
That's right, something like that.
Trouble's all like, the only ever answer I ever get from the trees is like, well, that before it happened again.
Yeah.
So what?
That, they don't,
they don't worry about it. So
they don't appear to be worried by it. They weren't worried when that big storm and all the trees blew down. They say, oh, it's happened before. No problem. We'll regrow.
In fact, some of the younger species dryads, like some of the birch and the and the hazel and the wild service were positively jumping up and down about it because it gave them a chance to grow.
Yeah.
Well, look, we've got holes in the canopy, we can see again.
It might be worthwhile doing some research and find out the number of seeds that the birch are producing now each year and see if it suddenly shoots up. Because they'll know in advance anyway, and they make a lot more seeds to be blown around in the hope they'll land on the new available ground.
Yeah, that's a point. Yeah.
That's what they did last time. When the ice melted, the first ones in there were the birch. And they were in there and started growing before the permafrost had dried out.
Mm.
It had started to melt and was soggy, and then it started to grow.
Yeah, but they like that.
Oh yeah, it's a nice habitat for
that
them. Yeah.
That cold, wet habitat. It seems to set them off all
right,
don't it? You know.
Yeah.
But they are pioneer species, aren't they? They'll go in and take things over and lock the earth down, basically, and well, give everything else a chance to go.
Their roots hold the soil together. And that's good.
You know, there's a side conversation going on there. 5 minutes, giving me some good give people some good pointers on how to get started with actually getting some sort of communication going between themselves and the trees, the spirits again.
Wow.
Well, I'll go and rescue the coffee because otherwise it's not going to get happening because Cloudy's still busy writing.
That's why my throat's so dry.
Yes.
Ah,
so I'll go and get some coffee. You keep talking, alright? It's all very wet.
Well, the first thing you need to do is want to communicate with trees. And the second thing is you need to know which trees are more likely to respond. Now you can find this out by touching them. If they feel warm to the touch, don't bother. If they feel cool to the, not cold, but cool to the touch, and when you hold them they feel as if they're getting warmer, or you can feel energy going into your hand, these are ones that are more likely to talk to you. And also, how old are the tree you want to talk to? The older, the better. So if they've got a trunk that's less than 0.5 meter in diameter, don't expect much of an answer. They're too young to be really capable of think of other things besides being a tree. Now, having decided you've got a tree that may be interested in talking to people, look for that type of tree in an unusual situation. Let's say, for instance, you choose a beech, a boak, or a buka, which is a very good tree for this sort of thing. Look for them in the wild, because wild trees are much easier to talk to than domesticated ones. Look for one where the branches come from the tree as low as possible. If you can find one where the roots and the branches are almost touching, in other words, it comes out of the ground, out from the roots, and starts dividing up into several trunks, that's the best one to look for. And then sit under it, on the roots if possible, and talk to it. Say whatever you like, in your own language. You don't have to say it out loud, just to think that you're having a conversation with it. By having a conversation in this manner, you'll be producing images as you sort out what you're going to say. Like I'm having trouble with this right now. Those images, the trees will pick up and understand that you're trying to communicate to them. Now, try and make it a two-way conversation. In other words, you say something, and then stop and listen. Don't keep talking all the time. Now, you'll notice that your left brain and your right brain will be chattering to get away together like they normally do. There's always this conversation going on inside your head. Now, for best effect, you want them to shut up. So you need to concentrate on it to stop them talking and just listen. So you might have to get stroppy with yourself. So, wait, shut up! I want to listen. I'm talking to this tree and I'll talk to you later. I know that sounds a little strange, but if you do that, you'll find that they actually will stop the conversation. Now, during this stopped conversation period, you will start to get impressions from the tree, or the group of trees that you're concerned. Now, they may be in the form of words, they may be in the form of ideas and feelings, or they may be in the form of sound, or they may be in the form of colours, or a combination of these things. It all depends on your background and your upbringing as to which system is best for you. So you see, the tree will try to find something, sorry, common ground that you can use to do it. So if you're a very musical person, you may get a lovely music thing or like a symphony playing in your head that you've never heard before, and this could be the tree talking to you. If you're the sort of person who has developed their feelings, I forget what I was going to say now.
Developing your feelings.
Yeah.
Sorry, I distracted him by bringing his coffee in.
Yeah, hang on, let me have a quick sweep.
It's very hot, be very careful.
That's alright, suck it through my moustache.
Filter it.
Oh yeah, you're all that.
I told you it was hot.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to still make my tea.
Right, thank you. Yeah, the more you develop your own feelings, the more you can appreciate feelings directed to you by trees. In fact, a lot of gardeners already
have developed this. They have a feeling for their gardening, and they have a feeling for what the plants and trees are telling them. And we normally refer to this as having green fingers, or I think on the continent they say green thumbs. Hang on, I'm trying to wave the thumb about so you can see it. Ah, there, there's a thumb. This webcam's great. I would like the webcam to be move in time with us, you know, much faster. Not show you how I was 10 minutes ago, and then leave it for 10 minutes, and then show it again. You know, I could when I'm giving a talk or something, I use my hands a lot, demonstrating what I'm talking about. It's very difficult to do this on radio. If you're not quite sure what I'm saying, read Moonflower's comments. She's doing fine. She could do this talk for me, I think. Oh, dear. Yeah, trees, in actual fact, have two languages. They have a normal everyday language that they can project to people, and people without any special requirements or special knowledge can pick it up and have an understanding with the trees, the same as you can with a dog or a cat or a parakeet or all sorts of pets and things. They can't necessarily answer back in your language, but you know that they're listening and responding to it. That's quite normal trees, and you can do it quite easily. However, if you want to do specialist work like we do with trees, you need to have a lot more detailed explanation of things and detailed instructions, then you need to learn their, what we would call their technical language. And that's more like how would you call it? More like Chinese. It consists of thousands and thousands of pictures rather than words, rather than letters. They don't have an alphabet. They have pictures that do things. So if they want to say somebody walking, there's a couple of feet or legs moving along, you see. But the trouble is, there's so many pictures you have to learn, it takes a 25-year apprenticeship to do it.
I got half a mind to go and stand with a sheepdog.
Somebody out the front still, isn't there?
Yeah, the horse is out the front, and he's out there barking at the horse.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, cloudy, you rat bed, talking about our second wedding anniversary tomorrow before I've even had a chance to mention it on air. I wanted to do that.
Yes, 20.
I wanted to make sure everybody knows about it, and I love you.
Go on then, come and do it. Come and
I've just done it. I've just done it. I'm going to go and wreck the dog now. I'm on the moment. Keep going.
Yeah. My son chose his wedding day very, very carefully. He was worried he might forget the date. So he chose the 20th of the 4th, 2004. So it was 2004. Does that make sense? Makes it easy to remember, doesn't it? The
like dialectic thinking with pictures. Yeah, we're both dialectic, didn't you know? Not only are we idiots, we have difficulty with spelling and all sorts of things too. Yeah.
It's all got here at Southernwood, isn't it? Eh? Oh, I don't know.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. It's all saying congratulations.
Oh, well, they've all right, yeah.
Earth is dialectic as well.
Oh, yeah, dialectic thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, see, the big problem is most people are something like about 70% left-brained and 30% right-brained. We seem to be about 90% right-brained and 10% left-brained. So things like spelling and things like that, we find very difficult. In fact, we find talking difficult. That's why we're practicing here, to try and increase our ability at it. This is why we get stuck and don't know what to say next.
Oh, that's why I've got a headache on the right side of my head.
Yeah, you
have. Ouch. Panic. How are we doing? Yeah. Oh, not too bad. Lots of signal bouncing up and down, so we're getting out. I mean, it's recording and it's on the track.
Oh, thinking about left brain and right brain. Do you know that if you are more right brained than left brained, the hair on the right hand side of your head grows faster than on the left hand side? And if you're left-brained, more than right, it grows more on the left. Doesn't grow evenly, I mean, you know. Back in the old days, when haircuts were short back and sides, it was more noticeable.
Yeah. I've noticed that with people's beards, too.
Yeah.
They often grow lopsided.
Yeah.
And depending on the kind of person, it's possible to say, we're better than 50-50.
Yeah.
But they're likely to be either left or right handed, or brained.
Yeah.
By the way the beard grows.
Yeah, the big problem is most people are a mixture of both, you see, both sides. And it's the proportions. The bigger the difference between the proportions, the more noticeable it is. We use the back brain here a lot. And our hair grows a lot more on the back, so this is why we have these ponytails.
Yeah.
But now, at last, I have my sideburns here, in my ponytail, hanging up here and hanging down the back.
Who's Cabouter's wife? Moon's Cabouter's wife. Moonflower. Somebody's getting confused there. Yes.
Yes. Say yes.
Hang on. I've got to make sure it's typing in the right place because I don't want it turning off the bloody audio again.
Oh.
There you go, try that. There you go. Now that'll confuse everybody who's not got the chat on because they don't know what's going on.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
Do trees have a sense of humour?
Yeah.
The trees themselves, the wild trees, have a sense of humour, but it's much more developed in the pieces of wood they give us, what we call live wood. Becoming a when a tree makes a clone of itself and gives it to us, it's more personalised, less group spirit, more personal spirit, and they develop a very good sense of humour. We have all sorts of problems with her at home. You could be sitting there working with holding a piece of wood in one hand and a knife in the other.
Yes, that's it. Right.
And you put it down.
It's gone.
And you do something else to the wood and come back, it's gone. They've moved it over the other side of the room or something just to see what you're looking for it.
Or they put it in the pocket of the jacket you were wearing the day before when you were in the workshop. And not the one you had on 10 minutes ago that you took off just to have a cup of tea.
Yeah. They'll move things around.
It's funny. How did they get there?
Yeah.
I had that a minute ago. You turn everything upside down, turn around, come back. They can be really mischievous sometimes.
Gladys does give you right, yeah. And Gladys has been, yeah.
Yay, he got it at last. That's it. Yes, Kabouter is Dusty Jr. and he's Gladys's husband. Well, hey, that's another one sorted out. Yes, and we're all three of us in England. Dusty and I are sitting in the studio, and Claire's in the living room on the laptop, on the desktop.
On the desktop?
What about desktop? That's a bit cheap. I don't know. Many things that go on. This is nearly as bad as CB radio. That was always confusing.
Yeah.
Who was where? I mean, different radios in different rooms. That was silly. I wonder what ever happened to CB radio.
I don't know.
You don't see people using it these days.
I wonder if you could fix CB radio up to a computer.
I think they did and called it chat, didn't they?
Probably, yeah.
Chat. All these chat rooms and chat programs. That's
That's
effectively CB now, but now it's global CB.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a connection, you can get on a chat board anywhere, can't you?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, I think you're right. That's what's happening.
I mean, that was always the problem with CB radio. It was the 10 local dickheads and whoever was passing through.
Yeah.
You know, and if you had some mad bugger within half a mile of you who wanted to play with extra power, you couldn't hear anybody. You know, and now they all got to type it in, so they're one-hand typists. Sherlock Hoy is now known as Lynn. Oh, hello, they're changing names again, are they?
Hi, yeah.
Mind you, did they even have... Well, I mean, we call it Citizen and Bam Radio. I wonder what they called it on... I know they had it in Holland. They used to buy CB equipment in Holland. But I can't remember what it was called over there. It wasn't CB. It might have been CB. I think the English name was Open Band Radio. Because they didn't want to use the word Citizen Band, because that was American styling.
Yeah.
Overcast, but dry at the moment, with a freshening wind from the northeast.
But we can't, can't see any stars on the moon.
No. What? At night, darling? Cloudy is written, mostly cloudy with some sunny spells.
Oh, what was the weather today? That was
today. Oh, today was alright, yeah.
Yeah, we had a dry day today, yeah. Desktop.
they've got some sort of code going on there. I don't know what they're talking about now. It's madness. So we
desktop
might...
Because it can annoy you to death if it does not work.
Ah, right. Ah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we're having frustrating times.
Yeah.
These computers are marvellous, but they don't work all the time, do they? They have Well, I don't know about you, but ours always have a sense of humour too. They muck us about as much as they can.
Well, you know what it's like. You can be working on something, and you've got it down pat, and you think, oh, right. And then somebody comes around and you say, oh, look, just look at this. Look, I've got this working. And you go click, 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 clunk. And you go, oh, what's it doing now? Damn computer.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, they've got a sense of humour, these machines, some of them, sure they have. Yeah, complete and utter madness.
Yeah.
That went quiet again, see?
You can get some washing dried outside.
Are we going for the longest spell we can get away without talking? That's about 2 minutes of silence there. Nearly, yeah. They're all twiddling their knobs thinking, well, they've gone again, they've gone again. No, we haven't quite gone,
no,
not
we
yet.
We haven't gone, no. We're busy reading the chat.
Yeah, it's definitely gone quiet for a minute or two. Oh dear, never mind. They do read it again.
Oh yeah, we try to.
I remember doing it again there, see, look, you're reading it again and not saying anything.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. So remind people, where are you off to next week?
Munich.
Munich, down the south.
Down the south, yeah. Mm. It's funny, I think this would be about 7th or 8th weekend seminar in the Munich area. This one is right in the centre of Munich itself. If any of you know Munich, and you know there's a giant statue of a man walking, a white statue of a man walking outside a insurance company, it's just around the back of that. I can't for the life of me tell you the name and the address.
No, I can't.
It's where they have the festivals down the middle of the road.
Yeah, there's a fella down that way who owns a Mark 1 Capri, parks it in the street a lot, yeah. Yeah, can't think of the name of the street though.
Do you fly with Ryanair, Duster? Yes. We fly from Stansted to Friedrichshafen.
Yeah, it's dead cheap, yeah.
Do you know how much it cost? Less than €1. €1. €1 plus 10 cents. Yeah. 79 pence. Yeah.
Mind you, it's the tax and all the other stuff that
comes up. Yeah. But even then, it's only cost me, I think, £38 for the whole weekend.
Hmm.
You can't grumble about it.
Couldn't drive there for that money.
No.
That's the trouble.
And we'll be met, I'll be met there, I'm going on my own, I'll be met there by my boy Martin. He'll come down and pick me up, and we'll go back to his place for a meal. We'll spend the whole evening talking to him and his wife, and then on Thursday morning we dash off to Munich and start the seminar at lunchtime. And the Munich Engels Park is huge.
7 cents from Eindhoven to London. That's not a bad price.
Yeah, they have them done it, yeah.
But what would you go to Eindhoven for?
Well, if you're going to Holland, Eindhoven's as good as anywhere. Yeah, that's where we went like the other week, yeah.
I like Eindhoven.
Yeah. Mind you.
We just get lost in Eindhoven.
Yeah, and most of the local people don't know where the airport is in Eindhoven.
No.
Hasn't been there long, you see, and it has
Reds and something else in Dutch, I can't remember. Yeah. Somebody tell me what it is.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, providing they'll put money in your bag if you want to fly, providing you don't want to take any luggage yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how they make the money. They sell the freight. Yeah.
I know, it's growing bigger and Phillips is getting more and more factories, yeah. Phillips Town, I know.
I used to spend hours and hours going round in silly circles just north of Eindhoven.
Oh yeah, you did all that testing, didn't you?
Yeah. An hour at a time, 50 kilometres over Belgian Parve. Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah. You knew you'd tested the damn bus doing that, but there you go.
Hello. Yeah, the road from Eindhoven
up out again. Oh, no, no.
Hmm?
Pelican's in and out. He keeps hitting the wrong button. Anyway,
The road from Eindhoven up to Uden has changed a lot since we were living there. It bypasses all the little villages now.
Hmm. Yeah, that used to be a little two-lane blacktop, didn't it? That snowed through all the villages and took forever if there was a tractor in the way. Or a pig truck.
Mm.
Madness. You can go for a day's shopping in Rome for €1 we got. Well, those of you that want to travel, it's up to you, you know. But there again, what can we leave, what final thought can we leave them with tonight? I know, I'm sorry if I'm sounding a bit funny. I've got a tooth missing and it's giving me the jip. I broke a crown. I feel like I've got a little bit of a...
Do you?
That might be to me, but I mean... Nobody else has complained, but I look like a right gig.
That's why you're not on the camera. That's why you're keeping off camera.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I don't have any teeth.
Give me a motorcycle and a dirty denim jacket. I could do a good motorbiker impression. I could a scary biker impression, but I won't do that now. So anyway, you lot, cheers for that. We've actually managed to get another recording out there. So it's not even a recording; it's live.
We're not getting the times on the.